You're listening to the 40 Thrive Podcast, the show created for women 40 and beyond, ready to shake things up. And now, your host, Jackie McDougall.
Welcome back to another episode of 40 Thrive. So if you are approaching menopause or even perimenopause, I have an episode here for you today. Dr. Soma Mandal is widely regarded as one of America's top physicians in midlife women's health. Dr. Soma is a board-certified internist who has helped thousands of women to successfully navigate menopause and reinvent themselves along the way. We are busting some serious menopause myths today and talking about her book, Dear Menopause, I Do Not Fear You. Before we get started, head on over to the show notes at 40thrive.com/episode 68 and find out how you can support 40 Thrive at just $3 a month. In fact, we're about to announce some new features just for those supporters. So head on over to 40thrive.com/episode 68. You will be happy you did. Okay, without further ado, here's my conversation with Dr. Soma Mandal. Dr. Soma, welcome to 40 Thrive.
Thank you, Jackie, for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you. So this book, my goodness, Dear Menopause, I Do Not Fear You, which I feel like every time I read it, I have to say it in like a, I do not fear you type of voice. But you talk about brains and breasts and heart and hot flashes, bones, thyroid, even Eastern versus Western therapies. I mean, the book is jam-packed, super easy to read. And my favorite is the funny comics. Gen Xers will love that.
Mine too.
So I have to ask you, what made you write the book and why now?
So, Jackie, I'm 48 years old and I'm in that perimenopausal phase. And I see a lot of patients who are in their late 30s, their 40s, their 50s. And a lot of times confusion can occur during this large phase of a woman's life because she is so heavily involved with other things in terms of raising children and juggling a career and being married and possibly taking care of aging parents. So a lot of things can occur to that person in terms of not feeling right and having symptoms such as fatigue and sleep issues. And I'm here to help them tease them apart. But what I noticed was that, and it's surprising to me just because, I don't know, when we go through puberty and when we try to have a family, there's so much that's out there for women to follow and people to talk to. And it's at this stage of life, the perimenopausal stage, the menopausal stage, that things kind of just fall off of a steep curve where women are not getting the answers that they deserve. And this is why I decided to write this book and help as many women as I can with this type of issue.
Well, it's fantastic. And one of the things I appreciate about the experts that I have met through this podcast and through my career is it's not enough anymore to just have this experience and this expertise, but there are more and more experts who are bringing their own real life approach to it. And that's what I love about your book too, is that you understand it because you're in it.
Right.
And so, yes, you're a doctor and you're brilliant and science-based everything, but you're also a woman who understands the underlying feelings and the insecurities and all of the other stuff that comes along with it.
And I think it's important to share as a woman doctor, when I find it appropriate, I talk about my personal life because it's important for them to know that they're not the only one, that even their own doctor has been encountering things related to this stage of life.
Right. I mean, how many times have women, you know, especially women over 40, gone to a doctor about something? And if the doctor doesn't necessarily, you don't have to be through, have gone through the exact same experience,
right,
but at least understanding. I mean, I've done that with my past OBGYN was male. And some of the things he would say to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, you have no clue what you're talking about.
I'm sorry.
No, it's nice for you. And I'm not saying, I mean, trust me, I'm not saying that men, male
OBGYNs cannot do incredible work. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that some people choose to not understand just the emotional and psychological effects that some of these changes can bring.
No, that, I mean, it's absolutely true. And whether it's a man doctor or a woman doctor, I've had patients who've had the misfortune of even, you know, seeing a woman doctor and being told that they were too young to be perimenopausal and or menopausal, and you know going through it with them and sitting down and taking the time to understand what was they were experiencing and other issues and doing testing. A lot of times my answer was, you know, you're absolutely not too young to be going through this. And I had to educate them and tell them about how their body works. It's not just about their ovaries. It's about their brain and their heart and their bones and how everything, you know, comes into play and sometimes produces the issues that they're having.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things I love that you do in this book is you bust some myths. What would you say are some of the myths that we are taught about menopause, whether it's through, you know, our older relatives or even Hollywood and TV shows? And what are some of the things that you feel like we've been believing that are absolutely inaccurate?
So I think some of the myths that are important to know that a lot of women still get surprised about. You know, women ask me, you know, I know after you go through menopause that your risks of breast cancer go up. And that's actually not true. The risk of breast cancer, unfortunately, does increase with aging, which coincides with menopause. But menopause itself does not increase the risk of breast cancer. So that is one of the biggest ones. So there are patients that I have that say, well, it's not in my family. I don't think myself as high risk. Well, that could be true, but age alone puts you at risk for it. So I do advocate for the, you know, routine screenings that are offered. But menopause is not a risk factor for breast cancer.
That is definitely something I think I believed myself. So what is another myth that we're believing that is inaccurate?
I think other myths are that, you know, once you go through menopause or as you're menopausal, you know, every woman will be in a bad mood and everyone will gain weight and, you know, will have hot flashes. And the honest answer to that is that it's very variable from woman to woman, from different ethnicities, from, you know, and there are cultural aspects that are associated with that too. So no two women will experience menopause in the exact same way because of that. For example, you know, I have looked at studies involving South Asian women who tend to have less of the hot flashes that Caucasian women can experience more often, but they can have more symptoms like joint pains. And you may send them for testing, you know, to rule out arthritis and, you know, all sorts of stuff, which would probably come back normal. But different women can present differently. And of course, you know, the symptoms can be similar from woman to woman, but the experience is not a universal one for everyone.
Right. Well, that's good to know. And then I was reading in your book that one of the myths is that until menopause is complete, well, people think that if they're going through perimenopause or they haven't had a period for a little bit, that they can't get pregnant. And that is not true.
Right. That is absolutely not true. And so if you're done with, you know, raising your family or having your family and you don't want to have any more children, it is important to know that until you go through official menopause, which is 12 months without a menstrual cycle, you are still at risk. I shouldn't put it that way. You still have a chance of getting pregnant because there is still enough estrogen in your body to support a pregnancy. And so yes, I've had 51-year-old women who surprisingly found out that they were pregnant when they thought that they could no longer get pregnant.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good note right there, because well, and also that the pregnancy may not be as healthy at that age. And so even, I mean, that's true, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so as we get older, this has nothing to really do specifically with menopause, but, you know, for women, it's all about our egg health. So as we get older, yes, the risk for, you know, genetic mutations and more cases of Down syndrome occurring are greater because of the age of our eggs.
Right, right. So that, I mean, that's really important information to know. And you make such a great point in your fact number four, which is menopause is not the end of life as you know it, busting that myth, because there are a lot of women who maybe feel like they're on the other side of all the good things. So can you explain a little bit more about that?
Sure. I always stress for women, like we are dynamic. You know, we have the ability, our bodies change from year to year. You know, we're, you know, from 13, our bodies are different when we're 20, and we're able to, you know, have children and feed our children through our bodies. So I always think of the female species as a dynamic race, if you want to call it that. And I always feel like, you know, we do so much. And whether it's societal pressure, a lot of women feel like their lives are over, that they're done, that their children have left the nest and, you know, and all their purposes is to make dinner at home. And I'm like, you're actually so much more than that. You know, you have done so much, and that can be extended outside. You can build a new career, and it's difficult. I'm not saying that it's not, but to take that challenge on at that part of your life is really important. And I feel that a lot of women, you know, don't look at it that way. And a lot of times I often find myself, instead of, like, you know, take a person's blood pressure, I talk to them about, you know, maybe you should pursue that job that you don't think you're going to get. And even if the answer is no, right, just, you know, why are you so afraid of pursuing it? The worst answer might be yes, and then you'll have to, like, you know, figure out how you're going to prepare for this. So I absolutely think it's the best time to reinvent yourself, because, you know, it's a time when you can actually focus on yourself, on a new career, on a new book, on a new hobby, on making new friends, on starting a not, you know, for profit organization. There's so many things that we are trained to do as women, as mothers, as wives. And a lot of women don't, you know, give themselves that credit.
Right, right. And so what about women who haven't had children? Because I don't ever hear any differences. Like, does menopause, if you've had children biologically and not, does menopause appear any differently in your body?
You know, Jackie, that's a great question. And I've actually thought about it. I actually think that menopause is probably determined in terms of what age you'll be going through right from the get-go. We're born with a certain amount of eggs. It's an extraordinary amount of eggs that actually, you know, get lost by the time you're 1 year of age. As to why that happens, I haven't found anything as to why the body does that. So it's all about the ovarian reserve. People ask me if the age of their menopause would coincide with their sister or their mother's menopause. And while, yes, it might give them a little bit of information, it's actually still not, you know, completely determining what their age of menopause will be. So my hypothesis is that, you know, how much ovarian reserve we come into the world with, and that will determine when we go through menopause.
Interesting. And then do you find in your patients who have or haven't had biological children that it appears differently, or that the symptoms are different, or are we all one and the same?
Let's see. I think it's so variable. And, you know, a lot of women have IUDs in place, you know, so they're not experiencing the irregularities. There are women who, yes, even if they haven't had children, they still go through, you know, a lot of the symptoms that we have been talking about. So I don't necessarily find having children changes that. What I do find is women who have had children, the nature of their menstrual flow can change. For example, I've observed that women who had a very heavy flow prior to having children, that can change. And the vice versa. I've had women who had a lighter flow, and then after childbirth, their menstrual cycles became much heavier. And why, we don't know, but I've seen those kind of changes happen.
Right. Interesting. So one of the themes throughout the book, no matter if you're talking about bone health or hot flashes or your heart, thyroid, but you regularly go back to how we treat our body through nutrition and our lifestyle choices, right?
Yes.
And so obviously, like, we know that lifestyle choices make or break. I mean, I know from myself that when I drink wine or eat sugar, I will have, it's not even a question, I will have hot flashes at night. It just triggers it in me. But other than, you know, making good choices in that way, what else can we be doing to be living our best physical and emotional life through this change?
Great question. I think at this stage of life, it's absolutely crucial to really have the healthiest diet, healthiest lifestyle possible. So it is the time to really, you know, get the junk out, focus on more of a Mediterranean type of diet, and get the exercise as well. There are patients that I have, and I constantly tell them, you are what you eat, and it's even more so at this point, because when you're eating badly, when you're not taking care of yourself, that will absolutely impact those symptoms and make them much stronger. You will feel them much more than if you weren't taking care of yourself.
Right. I mean, I noticed in, you know, my 30s, I went into menopause surgically at 35. So I've been in it for almost 14 years. But I've noticed that I used to make choices based on how much weight I wanted to lose and how I wanted to look. And now I make food choices based on how I want to feel.
It is important to really focus on the healthy fruits and vegetables, to limit the alcohol. You know, one for women, no more than one, you know, glass of wine per day. And then also you have to look and see how much you're filling the wine glass, you know, because sometimes it can qualify as two if you're not careful.
I just use really big glasses. That's all. But you're right. You're absolutely right.
As our hormones are fluctuating through perimenopause and menopause, these fluctuations in estrogen, progesterone become much more pronounced. And then if you're not eating properly, it just makes the symptoms that much worse. I don't know the actual mechanism behind how that works. I just think it's your body telling you, you better take care of me because I'm not feeling well.
Absolutely. And so I think, you know, some of the women in the community feel a bit of a disconnect when it comes to their relationship with their doctor in regards to menopause. I mean, there are a lot of OBGYNs out there who are great at delivering babies and understand periods and all of that. But when we start to move into menopause, especially if they're younger, they may not necessarily understand or have that education. What are some of the key things we should be asking our doctors at this age and stage?
So, Jackie, I first advocate establishing a relationship with a doctor that you trust. And, you know, just like in life, sometimes that takes more than one try. It could be that you need to see a couple of different people to find someone who is listening to you. And that's the key thing here. You need a doctor who actually looks you in the eye and listens to everything that you have to say and doesn't dismiss what you're talking about. So I have a lot of patients who do see, you know, very good doctors, but they don't receive that and they feel frustrated. So finding somebody like that is key. Also making sure that they're aware of your full family history, doing the research, talking to your relatives about any cancer histories, you know, what ages, you know, women may have had certain health issues like heart disease and osteoporosis. These are all important things for your primary care doctor to know. The expectation, I think, with the pressure of medicine these days is that, you know, in a 30-minute visit, everything will be kind of understood and covered. That's just not reasonable. So I always advise, like, my patients that over two or three visits, I think we'll come down and figure something out for you. But to allow that time to happen is important for you and your doctor.
Right. That is such a great point, because we are living in a day where we're advocating for ourselves more. We're asking smarter questions. But let's be honest, the doctor on the other side is a human being who maybe needs to research certain things, or maybe needs some time to rule some things out. And so I think that's a great tip in that, you know, manage your expectations of what you expect from this human being on the other side.
Right. And I never have patients who feel frustrated because of that. But it's always an honest conversation that I have with my patients. We need at least a couple of visits to figure out, you know, how to get you feel better, how to get you to a better place than where you are right now. And as long as they understand that, it's never been an issue with anyone.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, you know, finally, I just want to talk about supplements for a minute. And now I know that, you know, the person listening, you're not their doctor. And so you can't specifically necessarily tell them, like, take two tablets of this or this many milligrams of that. But in general, should we be looking to more supplements to maybe fill in the gaps as we go through menopause?
Jackie, the most important way to get our vitamins, our general nutrients, obviously, vitamins and minerals, are really through your diet, because just the way our bodies are, we absorb these things much better than we do through a pill. When I have a patient who may not be taking enough calcium, it's easier for me to just say, okay, I take the 500 milligrams of calcium, but I actually focus on her diet. And we use certain web-based tools to figure out, you know, how much calcium in general she's receiving on a daily basis. And then I sit down with her and I, you know, say, well, maybe you can incorporate more broccoli into your diet, foods that are diverse, not just dairy related, so that she can absorb the calcium from all types of foods. And then if I see it's really difficult, she really feels she can't eat that much more, then I supplement it with a pill. But I really advise patients to try to get all their stuff from their regular diet. The same goes for other types of vitamins as well. Of course, there are conditions, you know, where, you know, people truly cannot absorb these types of vitamins or minerals through their gut. And at that time, supplementation, whether it's through a pill or an injection, is necessary. But in general, if you are otherwise healthy and don't have any issues with your gut, malabsorption issues, colitis, inflammatory bowel disease, then you should really try to focus on getting these types of things through the diet in general.
And I think that, like I said, as someone who's been forced into menopause and has experienced a lot of these things, like, diet is huge, but it isn't always enough for everyone. And that's when we talk about things like hormone replacement therapy. How do you know if someone is a candidate for HRT?
Just like I mentioned, just having those, you know, few visits in the beginning, really sitting down, talking about, you know, different things that we can try before going to hormone therapy. It does involve taking a thorough personal and family history. And there are certain risks that are associated with hormone replacement therapy. And we have to weigh those risks and benefits for each and every patient. So it's not a one size fits all. And we always use the lowest dose possible when starting. We make sure that, you know, we watch out for any potential side effects. And I always tell my patients, you know, there's no, you know, research out there that goes beyond 5 years to see, you know, what risks can happen after 5 years of hormone replacement therapy. So I always set the expectation that when I start this medicine for you, unless something changes, unless a big trial comes out, we would have to stop this medication after 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Which is challenging at times.
Right. Absolutely. To go back to the book, I love the way you present this information. You have a sense of humor. It's really easy to read, as I said, and it really breaks things down in a way that empowers women and instead of intimidates them. And so I really appreciate how you pulled this together and presented it, because I know I learned a lot from it, and I'm going to link to it in the show notes, of course.
Thank you.
So anybody listening can also buy it. you know, I think that you're doing really, really important work. And I can imagine that your patients also feel empowered versus intimidated when they work with you. So how can my audience, how can my listeners get more from you and follow you? Are you online, on social channels? How do we get more Dr. Soma?
You can find me at drsomamandel.com. I have a Facebook page, so if you look me up, Soma Mandel MD, you'll find me there. I'm on Twitter as well as Instagram.
Excellent. And I will link to all of that in the show notes. Dr. Soma, thank you so much. I really appreciate your expertise and, just like I said, how you bring your personal experience as well as your expertise together for this.
Thank you, Jackie. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening. Let me ask you two quick questions. Have you subscribed? It's easy to do and helps you get alerts when a new episode is up in your favorite podcast app. And have you shared it with a friend? That's the simplest way to help grow the show and help more and more women over 40 thrive. I really appreciate you pressing play today. I know you have a lot going on and it's not lost on me. Until next time, take care and keep thriving. Spring has sprung, and with the change of seasons, sometimes comes an increase in vitality. If you're feeling in the mood for a little more personal time, may I suggest Coconu? Coconu is all about providing clean and natural ingredients when you're enjoying your most intimate moments, with or without a partner. Naturally safe products developed by people who are obsessed with quality. Get 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconu. That's 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconu.